Rich Larson and Dan Moyer back at Pride in the Park, and we are now pleased to be joined by, what do we even call you, like local political operative, city council candidate? Davin Soakup joins us now. Hi, Davin.
Hi, how are you guys?
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
This is great.
Davin, what do you like about what you see here today?
Well, I like that this exists here. To be honest, I never really thought there'd be a Pride Festival in Northfield. I grew up, you know, as a young queer person, always needing to go to the Twin Cities for anything LGBTQ related. So it's just really wonderful to see this happen here in the place that I live.
Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah.
Share your journey.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Northfield and Faribault, kind of split my time between both towns. I went to school in Faribault, and I came out as gay in high school in Faribault, and at the time I was the only out person in my entire school.
Wow.
So,
you know,
it feels like a different time, but it wasn't all that long ago. I mean, I graduated high school in 2005, so I came out as a right before junior year, so probably 2003-ish.
Wow.
And you know, I'm a trans man, so when I came out in high school, I came out as a gay woman. It was before I knew what trans people were, or there was really any language around it, especially, you know, in a more rural area. It wasn't until I went to college that I met other trans people and was like, oh, this is actually what fits
this
much better.
Sense.
So
yeah.
I actually came out twice, which was probably like, you know, affected my parents' health a little bit. But
has your family been supportive?
Yeah, it was definitely tough at the beginning, I think, especially, you know, when I came out in high school, it was kind of something we didn't necessarily talk about, you know. But when I came out as trans when I was 19, coming back home, there still wasn't that awareness of who trans people were or what that meant.
Right,
right.
So it was tough in the sense that there was a lot of confusion and fear and misunderstanding, I think. But my family, luckily, we worked through it for a number of years. You know, I'm 35 now, so I began transitioning when I was about 20.
Okay.
So it's been 15 years, and that, you know, my family's is in a really good place at this point. And they're very accepting at this point. It took a lot of conversations. You know, I think when people come out now, there's a lot more awareness of what certain things mean and what someone's experience might look like as someone who's going to transition. It's just a different world. I don't know how else to put it. It's not that much time that has passed, but, you know, the fact that we have this community now here in Northfield that's large enough and outspoken enough to have a Pride Festival is just unreal to me, and I feel really grateful.
Davin, when you came out in high school around this area, could you have imagined something like this? I mean, how does this feel to you? I mean, from an emotional point of view, because you said you were the only one. And I trying to wrap my head around that and just looking around now, you must just, I see your eyes just glittering.
Yeah. It's emotional, I think.
Yeah.
I think, I don't even know how to sum it up, really. I think there's such, I feel really conflicted about it, not in the sense that I would never want this to happen.
Right.
I absolutely want this to continue to go. But, you know, we see the necessity to have these kinds of things exist in a really powerful way because of all the negative, you know, things that are happening in our country toward queer people. And so the fact that I came out at a time when a lot of people you know, their response was, what does that even mean? Now people, there was more grace than the conversation was not political. It was about trying to understand what I was even saying. You know, if someone wanted to give me the time and space to do that. And now it's like, we have so much more visibility. We have so much more community. And that's so important. But we also have this backlash almost in the face of this visibility and community that's saying, you know, you actually don't belong here. You shouldn't be allowed to be who you are. So it's kind of this double-edged sword now where at least I don't feel alone.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, I work at the Minnesota Senate as a legislative assistant, and we're seeing these bills come through our own state that are trying to ban trans kids from playing in sports.
Right. Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. And so like I said, it's a blessing and a curse almost being more visible.
Well, one of the things that I really wanted to say is, first of all, I have incredible... I really admire you and would like to thank you, because you were really kind of a trendsetter on this, and you were bold, and you did this when nobody else was around. And I am really hoping that right now there's somebody listening to the radio or here today, and they're seeing all of this kind of stuff, and you've got the history of knowing when it wasn't there and when it was really tough and very alone. And kind of you help make this kind of stuff possible, not just here in Northfield, but just everywhere. And I think that that's really important, and we can't ever forget. I don't want anybody to ever have your experience where you were the only one and you had that aloneness. I don't want that ever to happen ever again.
Yeah.
And so thank you for your boldness and your courage.
Oh,
and
that...
it takes guts, and I want you to understand that I think that you've got a lot of them.
Thank you for saying that. It does, you know, for young people that are coming out now, there can be a reaction sometimes from people who don't know what it's like to be queer, who think, oh, they're just doing this because it's like the cool thing to do.
Yeah, it's not the cool thing.
It couldn't be further from the truth.
No.
What it feels like to tell your family something that could potentially sever ties, you know, that...
Yeah.
That's not something that people play around with and do because it's cool or trendy. And, you know, I think there's nothing better than being in a place like this and seeing all these young people who are just trying to be themselves. And it's really heartwarming. I hope we continue to have a community that really, you know, welcomes all kinds of people. It, you know, is part of why I moved back to Northfield. It's part of why I feel... driven to run for office, it's kind of place I never want to leave again. So
that's great. Well, and I mean, thank God you don't want to leave. You're part of what makes Northfield.
Yeah.
So you are now looking to take this to another level. I mean, you're running for city council. You're actually one of the new candidates actually who has a website up and things. You're more organized than most of the other candidates. So. Tell us a little bit about your candidacy.
I mean, it. So filing, you know, as you know, only closed a few days ago.
Yep.
And I didn't really have, no one else had filed until the last few hours, I believe. So I'm still wrapping my head around being in a three-way race for the at-large seat. And, you know, that signals that there will be a primary, which will be on August 9th. So I encourage anyone who's listening to make sure they turn out and vote for that primary. I'm still kind of figuring out what the campaign will look like now that it's you always have to think about, you know, the other people in the race. And, you know, I'm just trying to think about that date, that August 9th date, and go from there, because that'll bring two candidates to the general election. When I decided to run for city council before knowing what the race would look like, I was really motivated by really housing. It's what I have the most experience working as a legislative assistant at the Senate, really my supervisors really invested in the housing committee, and I've learned a lot, like what we do on the state level to try and provide affordable housing, try to make housing more accessible and safe for people. And I joined the planning commission here in town 4 or 5 months ago, and I'm really focused on how we kind of do that at the city level. Yep. You know, what is it really going to take for people who work here to be able to afford to live here?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, my dad worked at Cheldahl, my mom worked nights at Multimeal. I come from like a really working class background, and you know, it's not easy to afford housing in Northfield when you're not making a certain level of money. So
yeah.
I really am really focused on how we kind of ensure Northfield kind of remains the town that we love and want to be in, but we also make sure that everyone can figure out a way to make a good life here.
Right.
And I think that's, it's only getting harder everywhere in the country.
Well,
so
yeah,
we're feeling that here too.
Gas just hit $4.64.
Yeah.
I can't even have
yeah.
this country.
I know. But no, I think that your words really resonate today. And it's something that affects all of us, every one
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Davin Sokup, my dear friend, thank you so much for joining us. And it's just great to actually be able to talk to you.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy you guys are here. And this is just such a wonderful thing that we have in our community. So
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Davin. Dude!